Sanderson Ford. They're on 51st Avenue, just south of Glendale Avenue in Glendale, Arizona. They're open Monday morning to Saturday afternoon, always closed on Sunday. An inventory packed 65 acres. Celebrating 66 years of success, serving the community and the state. Know this, Arizona truly is Sanderson Ford country. Still owned by the same family that opened the dealership on May 1st, 1955. With 250 service bays and collision bays, 22 master certified technicians, an on-site Starliner diner, an accessory shop to add your customized personal touch to any vehicle, the largest parts inventory in the entire state, and a dedicated commercial fleet department. As well as a website that'll let you shop, buy from your very own home, and they'll deliver the car to your driveway. Sanderson Ford, if you're in the vehicle shopping mode, you would absolutely be crazy not to stop by and visit the great folks at Sanderson Ford on 51st Avenue, Monday morning through Saturday evening. They're there waiting for you to treat you like a neighbor. Sanderson Ford.
You tell all your friends.
That's what we are, every Arizona homeowner's handyman. We like to be every Arizona homeowner's best friend. If you have a dilemma or a question or a problem or some anxiety that your house, home, or castle is causing, we'd like you to get in the habit of thinking about contacting Rosie on the House first. It's free. We've been here since the 60s. We'll put everything we've learned to work doing this show for 33 years. Building and remodeling across Arizona for 50 years, we'll put everything we've learned to work for you. Let's go to Terry, who's on the line right now, calling from Cave Creek. Good morning, Terry. How can we help you, my friend?
Good morning, Rosie. Question. We've lived in Arizona for 8 years now. We've been lucky enough to buy two brand new homes, and we have a dust problem. And it's the same builder. And they tell us, well, Arizona's dusty. I mean, we mop the floors every Saturday, and there's always dust. And it's just me and my wife and a little dog.
And how long have you been in the home?
We've been in the home since we closed in October.
And you've lived in other Arizona homes how long?
Well, let's see, it'd be almost 7.5 years.
And those other homes, you didn't feel were as dusty as the one you're living in now?
No, it felt dusty, too.
Well, then we need to take a look. The first thing we're going to need to take a look at, Terry, is your central air conditioning system. We're going to have to take a look at the filtration. We're going to have to look at the integrity of the ductwork, the return air. If you're, like right now, what temperature are you keeping the house in the summer?
Summertime, we tried 78, too warm, 77, too warm. 76 hits the perfect spot.
Okay.
When we go out, I kick it up to 78.
Okay, well, I've got some other things I want to teach you a little bit later, but right now at 76, your air conditioning ought to be running often enough. What kind of air conditioning filter are you using?
The one that's recommended, and I change them every the first of the month.
And are they spun? Clockwork. Are they spun fiberglass or are they pleated paper?
I believe they're. I guess that'd be pleated paper.
Good.
With all the little folds in them.
Good. 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 Okay, that's the filter we would want you to use. There should be a reason. We should be able to keep an Arizona home, particularly in a record rainfall monsoon where the dust isn't a particular problem right now. We ought to be able to keep a home fairly clean. I would tell you, I would go back to the builder and I would ask him, I'd say, we'd like to do a whole house energy audit. It's going to cost $99. It will check the integrity of your ductwork to see if you've got excessive leakage. We should be able to get your duct leakage to well under 10%, close to 5%, hopefully. We've recently conducted several surveys where duct leakage was well over 30 and 40%. It's not unusual for us to find 15%. And that's generally the number one place that we're creating dust, is sucking attic air, attic insulation into the ductwork before poor ductwork. It's going to cost you $99 to get it done. In a new home, your builder ought to pay for that as a courtesy, I feel. But if not, $99, you can find Whole House Energy Audit Experts at rosieonthehouse.com. Get that audit done. Let's take a look at the integrity of the ductwork. That'll be my first place to look when we've got a dusty house. We've got other places we can look, but that's the first, cheapest place to look.
That'll also let you see if there's any leakage and seepage coming in around your windows and doors, which would be the next area. So congratulations on the new home. Get that energy audit done and let us know what you can resolve from there.
Keep us posted. What do you do with unwanted surface water? The number of inquiries we've had at the office over the past couple of weeks about, hey, can you come install a French drain? That isn't as easy as you would hope it could be. A French drain for a residential lot can really very easily be overwhelmed. Romy, do you happen to remember the statistic for every inch of rain that you rain harvest per 1,000 square feet of your roof area? It's 600 gallons?
I think so.
So that's 12 55-gallon drums. Almost impossible, residentially, particularly in the tight condo homes, and they're the ones with the small patios that have the biggest amount of drainage problem because all the roofs are just dropping into an area. The water's got no place to go. Situation where it's the only thing you can do with it. I can tell you that it isn't too big to dig a hole 6 foot by 6 foot, a minimum 6 foot deep. And then you have to put geotechnical fabric, line the hole with it, because you don't want the mud silting in this drain that you're building. Then you take vertical PVC pipe with holes drilled in it, and you stack it in that hole. And then you fill the hole with 2-inch size rock. And I even take the PVC pipe and I pound it into the ground as far as I can get it. Then I load the entire thing with 2 to 4-inch size rock. Then I lay a geotech material over the top of it and then a drainage grate on top of that. And it will even be overwhelmed in the size rain events we've had. But it will help to some degree. But you're not gonna be successful. People want us to come out and do a French drain, and they're thinking, I'm gonna dig a hole about the size of a 5-gallon bucket and fill it with rocks. That's nothing. That's not getting anything done. So if you don't have the room to put in something that's about the size of 6 feet by 6 feet, that's going to be a minimum of 6 foot deep, then we really don't have the opportunity to use French drains as a strategy on your property. Just one little tip with all the surface water we've been dealing with in the rain events this past monsoon season. Talking about developing raw land and what it takes to manipulate the drainage that at one time was falling on decomposed granite, desert washes, Palo Verde trees, mesquite trees, creosote bushes, and the natural terrain that is now falling on your rooftop, on your patio deck, on your cool deck, on your driveway, on your sidewalks, on your streets. And what are we going to do with all of that water now that has no place to sink in, and how are we going to deal with it? And that's what goes in to subdivision planning when we're building out a brand new area. And I made a little joke about now your neighbor messes the whole thing up
by putting one raised planter in the wrong place in their backyard and creates problems for you. And that's not a particularly huge exaggeration. I'm only going to say, when you landscape your yard, you've got to take the time to analyze what impact it's going to have on the drainage in a good raining downpour, both upon your property and every property downhill from you. That's only the right thing to do. So make sure you're consulting an expert that can help guide you through that. Flood water. Woo!
Expert, that's an interesting word too. Can have a different meaning to a lot of people.
That's true.
Some people claiming it are often seldom worthy of it, I would say. If someone has to claim it, you know they probably aren't. So one concept we've talked about, you know, getting water diverted off of the Columbian River into the Green River, which would then flow into the Colorado. Before, okay. Casa Grande actually has something in writing and is requesting a feasibility study from our, you know, DC about diverting water from Davenport, Iowa, where there's currently a diversion dam,
okay,
over to Rock Springs, Wyoming. That's about 1,000 miles,
okay,
where it would pour into the Green River and then travel the same path as any other water that comes into the Colorado from that far north.
Someone in Casa Grande figured out that they could put a pipeline from Davenport, Iowa,
and they've got them
to the Green River in Wyoming.
They've got a map. It's almost perfectly.
That's brilliant. What do the folks at Davenport think of Casa Grande's idea?
Because they specifically say this is for flood water harvesting. At times when it flooded,
excessive,
they would have this opportunity to then pump water over and fill up our reservoirs that are...
This would be the Mississippi River that Davenport's on, right? Or close to it?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
All right. You know how that floods. I could ruin farm fields, but you could collect all that water and bring it down here. Farmers would be happy in Iowa.
I don't know. Is it as potable? I mean, think about all the living organisms that are in water. What would come over from those floods that could potentially infiltrate our water system? You know, we got crawfish over here.
That's an interesting thought. A Davenport water ends up in the Green River. Mississippi River water ends up in the Green River. What is it going to bring with it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now we'll have to add a treatment system to that.
And cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And I don't think you could do a pipeline. You know, think about how big the CAP canal is. And that's only a fraction of the size of what Imperial Canal is into the farm field. There aren't pipes that big. Even if you could make a pipe that big, they don't have the equipment to move, put into position, and place together. So it would have to be some kind of mega open canal.